Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic and guide to all things cinematic. He joins us weekly. The films 20 Days in Mariupol, God Save Texas, and Household Saints.
Before getting to the first of today's films, actually as a way of getting to it, just a brief comment on the Academy Awards. As always, I'm the Grinch. I don't believe in the Academy Awards. I don't think that making culture or even entertainment into a contest is a particularly good idea. That said, the Oscars have been with us for a very long time, and I'm sure will continue to be with us despite my opinions. So I just want to comment briefly and say that I think that all of these wins for Oppenheimer are just way, way, way over the top. It's a perfectly good movie, but it's not a great movie. I would have been so much happier if almost any of the other nominees had won for Best Picture. I'm glad that Barbie didn't win. I'm especially glad that Poor Things didn't win. I think these are wildly overrated movies. But hey, Oppenheimer is not nearly as interesting as, say, The Zone of Interest or Past Lives or American Fiction or Anatomy of a Fall or even The Holdovers. So anyway, that's where I am on that. However, this is all just kind of a roundabout way of getting to the fact that I'm very glad that a particular movie did win in one of the other categories, and that is the documentary category. And I'm talking about 20 Days in Mariupol, which is a quite remarkable documentary, and it's been out for a while now, so this is not breaking news here, but it's streaming, it's readily available, and I really think it should be watched. It's just quite a remarkable film. So as the title suggests, this is about a period of roughly 3 weeks in this city in southern Ukraine, and it is about the early days of the Russian invasion of that city. Which, of course, was also a total Russian invasion of the whole country of Ukraine. And what happened was that back when the invasion began in early 2022, an Associated Press team was there with all the media equipment and whatnot, and they wanted to document what was going on. And, of course, the prudent thing for them to do as individuals would have been to get the heck out because it was getting more dangerous by the minute. But no, they decided to stay. And they really wanted to document all the things that were going on, especially, and I guess mainly, the fact that such an astonishing number of civilians were being killed. And one of the things that this movie goes into in great detail, and it's all just a documentary of real, actual footage filmed while these things were happening. One of the most appalling things that happened during that early period was the bombing of a maternity hospital in the city of Mariupol. So here we have a hospital, a maternity hospital, and a lot of other people were there too because other hospitals had already been bombed and healthcare facilities and things like that. So that's one of the things that this movie documents, but it documents much more than that. Sometimes the crew, the team, the group are roaming through the streets and just interviewing people, it seems, at random. Other times they're filming, taping, videoing the people who have been horribly injured. There's all kinds of very ugly and appalling footage in this movie, that's for sure. But it's real. And believe me, the movie is never even for one single second exploitive of all this stuff. It is not trying to be, to gather clicks or views or whatever we gather nowadays by showing horrific material for its own sake. It's really just chronicling what happened. Now, it's not an especially orderly chronicle. It does go, again, as the title suggests, in chronological order. Sections are labeled day one, day three, day five, day nine, stuff like that up through day 20. That said, it's the footage that they managed to capture. So we're not dealing with some sort of an orderly thing here, like somebody goes to document, a horse race or something, and they can do it in a nice orderly way and present the material in a nice orderly fashion. Here it was the footage they were able to get moment to moment, day by day, and it is then assembled in a very coherent way, but again, not step by step. It's the stuff as they were able to get it and to put it together. There is a narration, and the narration certainly helps to glue it all together. The narration is done by Mstislav Chernov, who was the director of the film. So we get a chronicle that way, and it's not confusing. We always know what's happening and why it's happening and so forth. And along the way, we just get to look at all of this appalling footage. Well, one of the things, again, this movie's been out now for quite a few months, and I totally recommend that everybody view it. It's hard viewing, but I think it's essential viewing. One of the things now that was not the case when this movie was first released that makes it, I think, all the more urgent is that I kept thinking about what's going on in Gaza and with the war there that's going on and raging and all of the astonishing number of civilians that are getting killed in Gaza. So I'm not taking a political position here on any of this stuff. I'm just saying that, yes, the Russian invasion appears to have been barbaric and brutal and caused astounding amounts of human suffering, not only the people who were killed, not only the people who were injured, but the people who love them and the people who are concerned for them. And good Lord, we see a lot of physicians in this movie and other healthcare providers, and they are working their heads off. And of course, it's not a hopeless task, but it's a very frustrating task because there's only just so much they can do, and they have limited equipment, and they have limited antibiotics, and they have limited anesthetics, and all of that stuff. And all of that is in the movie. And again, it had me thinking, because this is now a factor in world affairs, of what's going on in Gaza, and how in some ways, at least in terms of the scale of human suffering, it appears to be very, very similar. So for two reasons. One, because the Russian invasion of Ukraine is still going on. And two, because I think somewhat similar things are happening, totally different political context, of course, but similar things going on anyway in Gaza make this movie something that everybody should really look at and think about. Again, it's a hard movie to watch. That's what everybody's saying about it. Yeah, it is hard to watch. I totally agree with that. But I really think it's an essential movie to see, and I think that everybody should have a good look at it and really think about what's in there, because it's kind of appalling. Next thing I'd like to talk about is slightly unusual for Films in Focus here, and that is God Save Texas, because it's a TV series. But it's kind of a short TV series. It's a grand total of miniseries, I should say. It's a grand total of 3 episodes, and they add up to, I'm not sure exactly what. The first one is a little bit long. It's about going on an hour and a half, and the other two are a little under an hour each. So that gives us a total of about 3.5 hours, and a lot of movies. For example, Killers of the Flower Moon run in the neighborhood of that. So it's a mini series, but it's very much like a movie, but it is in 3 discrete, different, separate episodes. And each one is made by a different filmmaker, and each one deals with a very personal subject. Again, the overall subject, as the title tells you, God Save Texas, is Texas. And the person who really got this whole thing going is the marvelous filmmaker Richard Linklater. Now, Richard Linklater has been around for a very, very long time. He got his start, way back in the 80s with a movie called Slacker. And he's made since then some good movies, some excellent movies, some movies I don't think are very good. You know, it's been a varied career because he's been very busy. But he really has a kind of a flair for experimentation in him. For example, Slacker is a very interesting movie because it has no main character. It keeps moving from one character in one situation to another throughout its entire running time, and that was his very first feature, and it really showed him to be somebody who wants to take chances and make very entertaining stuff, but still give us stuff that's out of the ordinary. I'll mention one more movie of his, which is quite remarkable, a movie called Boyhood, which was filmed by Richard Linklater. It's a fiction film over a dozen years, and the main characters are played by his own 2 children. So we see them literally growing up over the course of this story. It starts out when they're young kids, and by the time it ends, they're young adults. And we see every stage along the way with these actors who happen to be his children growing up over the years and appearing in different scenes of the film as it proceeds at very different ages themselves. themselves. So talk about realism. It's a very, very interesting concept. So anyway, that's a little bit about Rick Linklater, who was quite a remarkable and interesting and still, I think, very venturesome filmmaker. So he got this whole thing going. And the first of the three episodes, which I think is far and away the best, is directed by Richard Linklater. And it is called The Price of Oil. That's the title. Again, the overall miniseries is called God Save Texas. The first one, and I just said that wrong. The first one is called Hometown Prison. And this is directed by Richard Linklater. And it is about, as one might guess, it is about a prison in Texas, right near the place where Rick Linklater himself grew up. And he knew people who worked in the prison, including one of his stepfathers. He wants to explore this. And what he especially wants to explore is the connection between this prison and capital punishment, because there have been a lot of executions that have taken place at this prison over the years, first by electric chair, later on by lethal injection and so forth. And it turns out that Richard Linklater, like me, has a very strong position against capital punishment. But that is what he wants to explore in this film. And so he talks with a whole lot of people. For example, he realizes that somebody he went to high school with worked for years on what's called the tie-down team of the prison. These are the people who strap the prisoner into the gurney so that the person can't struggle or get away while being lethally injected. Really interesting. He also deals with various other people who work in the prison in one capacity or another, some of whom he's known for a while, some of whom he hasn't. He also talks at some length, or shows at some length, about the execution in the late 90s of Carla Faye Tucker. She was a woman who spent so many years on death row and who during that time converted to Christianity and apparently became a truly model citizen and a truly model human being and was executed anyway. That's apparently the thing that really turned Rick Linklater permanently and totally against capital punishment. He deals with that, and it's a very interesting story in its own right within this film. Now, the other two episodes of this miniseries, God Save Texas, are one called The Price of Oil, which is by Alex Stapleton, who talks about the fossil fuel industry and what this has done to the city's minority community, Houston's communities of blacks and other minorities. And the most fascinating aspect of this episode is that you can just see the encroachment of this huge, gigantic industry and all of its buildings and pollution and smoke and everything else have just squeezed and squeezed and squeezed these underprivileged communities. It's fascinating to see in this film. And the third episode, which is by Ileana Sosit, is called La Frontera. And that deals with El Paso, where this filmmaker has lived for a long time. Her parents still live there. And we see about what has happened with its connections with Mexico, and particularly the city of Juarez, which is just across the river. And we see how things have evolved there in both El Paso and Juarez. So the three episodes are very different. I think that Rick Linklater's episode is by far the best of the three, but they're all of interest. They're all very personal. They all deal with very real world concerns. And it's streaming on HBO. And I recommend it, especially that first episode, Hometown Prison. And finally, I would like to talk about a movie from years ago, which is back. It's been restored. It's been revived. You can catch it streaming now. It's called Household Saints. And it's a movie from 1993, directed by Nancy Savoca, who also co-wrote the screenplay, based on a very good novel by Francine Prose. Household Saints is basically an ethnic story, totally fictional. And it is about three generations of women. They are Italian-American women, and they deal with the men in their lives, but the men also play important roles. The beginning of it is a sort of a little intro that gets us into the story, and then we start to look at this stuff. And we see how, first of all, the first part of the movie, maybe the first half roughly, is very, very ethnic, and it deals with sort of people dealing with family concerns and personal concerns. And they're very, very working class people. And there's a lot of Catholicism here. That's one of the things. The title is Household Saints. It deals very much with Roman Catholicism, and particularly the sort of superstitious way in which that religion permeates the lives of so many people who worry about the saints and what the saints are going to think, and other superstitions like what's going to happen if you witness something that is unpleasant while your baby is yet unborn, and will that mark the child? So this kind of thing goes on. on. Eventually, we get to the last part of the movie, which I think is the best, where we have the wonderful actress Lily Taylor playing a young woman who, from a very early stage of life, is obsessed by religion. And it has all kinds of effects on her life. And this part of the film, Household Saints, raises this absolutely fascinating question about what happens when religion transforms, perhaps, from something which is truly devotional and uplifting in life to something that is maybe pathological and psychotic. And it's a very, very poignant story, a very sad story in a lot of ways, but a very beautiful story, I think. All the acting is good. Tracy Ullman, Vincent D'Onofrio, but Lily Taylor is the best. She's such a phenomenal actor, and that is just such a phenomenal part of this movie. I've seen it a number of times over the years, and I recommend it so highly. Household Saints, a movie from way back in 1993, but streaming, easy to find, and I just really recommend it. I won't quite call it a saintly movie, but it comes close. So that is my partly fictional, partly documentary story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films 20 Days in Mariupol, God Save Texas, and Household Saints.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.